Well, pandemics are actually nothing new. In the 14th century, the Black Death killed hundreds of millions of people and more than 50 million died from smallpox in the 400 years before it was eradicated. 100 years ago, almost a quarter of the world's population got Spanish flu. Already this century, we've had SARS and the Middle East virus. So what have we learned from past experience? How will COVID-19 change our response in the future? Dr. Elisa Pieri is a sociologist from the University of Manchester and has carried out research on pandemics. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I suppose the advantage we have over people in the past is that we do at least understand what this is.
Yes, certainly. We also are building constantly on the lessons that we learn from previous pandemics and even previous outbreaks that were not pandemics, such as the Ebola crisis. So, for instance, at the moment, we're heavily reliant on the infrastructure for pandemic flu, as you mentioned. This is both in terms of the new regulations that country passed, such as the UK, but also in terms of all the international collaboration and infrastructure between laboratories and hospitals that allows us to research and respond rapidly to this new outbreak. So we're always learning and building on what knowledge we have built from previous outbreaks.
Have we learned the lessons, though? Because, you know, one thing that a lot of people say is striking, that there's a feeling that maybe we didn't use the time that China bought us properly.
Yes, I think there is definitely something to be investigated later on, as the previous speaker was mentioning, when we look at how poorly the time has been used in investing in protective equipment and especially in investing in testing. Even now, we can question why the WHO advice, which is being given and which is being followed by other countries and which is based on what we know has worked in other countries like Korea and Japan, is not being followed in the UK, as we're testing too few cases and we're testing only hospitalized people and not suspected cases as we should. We should also trace contact of people who should be tested when they are suspected cases, which we're not doing. So certainly also we are not following lessons that are even recent ones that we know are effective. And that are also basic ones of infection protection, so they should be on the forefront of anyone dealing with an infection. So there's both sides to it. We are building on infrastructure and knowledge on one hand, but the political response has certainly been lacking in some ways, which need to be investigated later on.
We say later on. Are there any lessons from the past about how long it might be before we are able to get back to anything approaching normality?
Well, with SARS or something like that, we expected 10, 15 months. And so you could assume something of a similar length in this case if the virus does not mutate. So at the moment, it's extremely stable, and so it does not appear to have any significant change to its DNA sequence. But that it remains an unknown, since it's a novel disease. So I would think we are looking at least 10, 12 months. In fact, the WHO director himself mentioned 12 months in a recent press conference of a week ago or so. So that's the time frame they are working with.
So when Donald Trump talks about getting America back to work at Easter, he's sort of whistling in the wind, is he?
Yes, definitely. And in fact, it is extremely dangerous kind of talk, because what we don't want is people going back to work and then further larger outbreaks surfacing because people are coming out of isolation on social distancing far too soon for it to have any effect at all.
So the message for people at home is basically we just have to stick with what we're doing.
Yes, I think the message for people at home is also that we need to envisage that measures are going to be toughened up with time rather than sort of relaxed in the short term. So I'm glad in a way to see the change of course in government in preparing people a little bit better to what is coming, instead of the initial announcement that measures would be reviewed in 3 weeks, which almost generated an assumption that they might be lifted. We now know through this letter that we're supposed to receive soon that things are going to be tougher before they become better. And this is a way of managing expectation at population level so that we can all handle what comes a little bit better than if we're just being drip-fed little information at a time, and our expectations are continuously kind of not met when we find ourselves in more stringent situations.
Dr. Pieri, thank you so much for talking to us this morning.